Jacob.
Hey, what's up?
What do the plot to seize the throne of the crowned king of France and the mission to communicate with the very first aliens on Earth have in common?
Whoa, man. I don't know. Those sound like two vastly different things.
Well, let's find out, because this week I watched The Man in the Iron Mask.
And this week I watched Arrival.
It's time to make
the movie connection. All right, and we are rolling and ready to go. Welcome in, everybody. Hi there. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection,
yeah.
Which is a podcast where we sign each other movies every week that we haven't seen, usually. And then we sit down, we watch them, and then we come together and we talk about the movies, we review them, and then we try to figure out if there's any connective tissue here. Is there anything that connects these two?
Yeah.
The results have been pretty interesting over the course of these.
That's true.
16 episodes.
Good job.
I think it's 16. I hope it's 16. We have managed to make a connection every time. Sometimes they're pretty loose. Like, I'm pretty sure the ones today are going to be, because we got a doozy. Because I watched Arrival.
And I watched Man in the Iron Mask.
And, it's always fun when we get movies like this. It's been a while, because we've had pretty solid connections, I feel, the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, you get movies like this, where it's fun to look at how opposite they are. Because,
yeah.
I mean, we're dealing with two different genres and everything here, because you got
two different time periods.
I mean, yeah, that's the big one. And that was the big, challenge, is it's just like, and it's a significant time difference.
Very much so.
Because what is, Man in the Iron Mask is, 1500s, I want to say.
Yeah, so, yep, 16th century, yep.
And then, Arrival is very present day, possibly, near future-ish, if you wanted to go down
sure.
that route.
Sure.
Two very different looks in a lot of ways, because A Man in the Iron Mask is very 90s.
Oh my god, it's so 90s.
And the Arrival is very, very clean. But I saw this in the notes or trivia or something. They wanted it to kind of look like a rainy day every day. And that is kind of the feel that it gave off. Is it's just like, wow, it's so gloomy. Which I liked, because it's like, it's a very solemn experience, this whole ordeal.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it, though.
We will.
They are very interesting movies. It was fun to try to find the connections, because, yeah, it was a challenge.
It is hard.
Like, I was almost ready to throw in the towel. It's like, you know what? No, we can't. We failed.
Are we done?
We have failed the audience.
Season one, we're done.
This is gonna be great. So Casey, I think it is your turn to start.
Yeah, buddy.
And as we always do, let's start with, in your own words, give me a little synopsis for
The Man in the Iron Mask. It's a tale about greed, hidden family members, and nepotism.
Strikes again.
We see a young and very selfish king, Louis, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, trying to bed all the women,
all the ladies,
including the son of Athos, who was killed by the king. Dun dun dun. So the three musketeers must band together, and they must stop him. The question we're all dying to know, though, who's that man in the Iron Mask?
Who's that guy? It's Philippe.
So I watched the trailer for this a while back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So that is kind of how this all started. Yeah.
And I actually had a really different viewing experience to what the trailer was, and I thought the trailer gave everything away.
And then the trailer, was this of the time period trailer or newer?
Oh, no.
Did it seem like a 90s trailer?
Definitely, it had the man... In
Touchstone
a world.
Pictures.
Yeah. In a world where you live in a jail cell.
yep.
So it was that guy.
Yeah.
But he was just... So at one point, they're just like,
Have you seen that movie with Lake Bell, by the way, In a World?
No, I don't.
Oh, cool. It's on the list. All right, good. Cool. Anyway.
But I watched the trailer, and in the trailer, I was like, oh my God, they gave it away. Because, like, the guy was just like, well, what would you do if you found out the man in the iron mask is you? And it, like, flashed over to a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio after the iron mask came off. And I was like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
So I know now.
Yeah,
but
right.
then I watched it, and it wasn't him. They lied. They tricked me.
Oh, nice.
So tricky, that was pretty fun.
Tricky little trailer
it
trash.
Felt so 90s. Like, oh, my God. Nice. I had to look to see. I was like, when did this
Leonardo
come out?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Versus when he did. Have you watched the Romeo and Juliet with Leo?
Oh, yes. Yes,
oh, yes.
I, that's
so
one of my favorite earlier Leos. I have a cutoff. It's like, for me, it all started post Titanic.
Shut up. You're watching Titanic next season. Get over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I am, unfortunately.
Next season. And
ugh,
you know what?
Gross.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I hear it's really good.
Yeah. He's going to want to hate on it, and he'll find something.
I'll find something.
It's so beautiful. There's
first
stuff you
and foremost,
cut,
James Cameron.
But I know. You hate him. Whatever.
He sucks.
He makes pretty
now,
movies.
What's crazy is, did you see the timing? Like, he filmed this immediately after Titanic.
Yes.
So, and that is why I was blown away by how much fucking money this movie made.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Budget of like $35 million or something like that. $174 million.
Oh,
something
yeah.
insane.
It threw it out of the water.
And because of that Titanic.
It's
like,
because they rode the wave.
Yep. And it's like, we don't talk about that. Where it's just like, hey, why don't we ever talk about the man in the iron mask and how that like was huge apparently.
It's got like really terrible reviews
yeah
too.
I get it like but no I but I feel like did I already mention like I feel like this has you written all over it might have been
totally.
Off air. I feel like this has you written all over it. So first of all, time period.
Yes.
It's a romance. It's
yes.
a period
yes.
film and one of your favored time periods, I think, right?
It's definitely like
actually what would be so for a period film, I guess. Does it depend on the genre? I don't know, but
it does depend
your
on the
time
genre
period?
Because I do like this would be like Renaissance-esque,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
1500s?
No, Renaissance.
When, Google.
Yeah, yeah. A little post Renaissance.
So like the Renaissance time period is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Good choice. Yeah, that's a good time.
And
yeah.
then after that, I would say it would be like 1800s, which
exactly
I know was a
right.
terrible time for women.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
it is a very romantic time period
of course,
in the books.
Like establishing of America.
And
as
I
crazy
do,
as it is.
I really like the dresses and stuff, which I know are really restrictive and terrible, but I do think that the way that...
they can be really...
beautiful
mm-hmm.
and I really love the way that the men dressed back then too with the
and that's a little more so now we're getting into Little Women territory
time coats and
yeah
I would say more Pride and Prejudice territory
okay
time.
Even earlier okay
yeah
yes
mm-hmm.
nice so
yeah.
those are your sweet spots
those are my sweet
Outlander
spots.
Is that roughly 1500 and forward
no Outlander is 1700
ah
is when she, like, lands in there 17-something because...
I see.
It's before the big war.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's before America, like...
Is established.
Is established. Because they are part of establishing America in,
right.
that, in that series.
Badass.
It is. A new frontier.
but, yeah. And so, Roman... And then, right, we covered the time period side of it. It's got Leo. Like... There's stuff to enjoy here, and there's stuff to make fun of for sure. But
yeah.
like in the end, like yeah, very interesting movie. Yeah, I think I'm ready. But you want to dive into some Q&A here?
Yes.
So, Man in the Iron Mask. What was it like to experience such a young Leo DiCaprio who had just wrapped filming on Titanic? Like.
I loved it. It was a little surreal because I haven't gone back and watched
right.
young Leo things in so long.
True.
But this
he's been
is,
killing it so much lately
oh
that
my
it's
God,
like,
his
why
stuff
go back?
Is so good.
Yeah.
And I love his old stuff. Like I love Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lover of the Titanic. I love his the version of him in Romeo and Juliet.
Yep.
That
pretty
was
good.
Extremely
pretty great.
Fun.
Really crazy movie, but great.
So fun. I really loved him in Growing Pains, so I like did love young Leo a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sort of like, you know, putting a nice old hat on that you forgot about. it was
yeah.
great. I loved it so much. Like, he's so cute, and he's always been such a good actor.
Oh,
like,
and I know, right?
So
like,
well.
Even this, I wouldn't rank this very high in terms of my favorite Leo performances, but even then, it's like lowest common denominator Leo is still pretty
damn great. He's so good, yeah. His eyes are so piercing.
Very compelling, great, very controlled voice. Like, you know, he's a very, like...
Hilarious, though, that, like, nobody had appropriate accents.
Oh, my God, yeah. I was just like... Yeah, that's a big point of contention for you.
It bothered me so much, which I think it's just
were there any accents there were yes. but they but none by the core actors, right?
Well, doesn't
Jeremy Irons, and then okay, no, so two out of the three Musketeers.
But still, it still was just like, what
it's
the
funny
fuck?
That the and king himself, like, yeah, no, not nothing.
Who's like the king of France. Even if we would have had a British accent, I would have been like,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
No, no.
Nope.
I
just got done doing the Titanic.
Sorry, guys.
Like,
I was like, okay, does Leo ever do accents? So I
he
Googled
does.
It.
He's done Boston.
So, right.
But
like,
he doesn't do, like, European stuff.
He doesn't.
I've never had... That would be weird.
For one of his parts, he hired a dialect coach to help him. And it was when he was playing somebody that lived in South Africa.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's the closest. Yeah, Blood Diamond. I did see that.
And I haven't seen the movie, but people wrung him out for that accent. So I think he's not good at accents.
Right.
And that's...
He does a pretty good Boston because he's done Boston a few times.
I've heard him do
but
that.
But Boston's pretty
but
easy.
But yeah, European, not so much.
It sucks
so
because he really did try, though. And it's pretty authentic when you look at it. Because then Matt Damon did the same thing for some movie didn't get as much flack. But it's always jarring when you have a white guy doing a South African accent, you know?
Hell yeah.
But interesting. In some ways, this is a sequel to The Three Musketeers made by Disney.
Absolutely.
Like, didn't you feel that? Like, so what are some differences you noticed in these actors' approach to The Musketeers versus the original? Like, you know.
That was so fun.
Kind of talk about
these guys were way more raunchy.
Jesus. Like, one of them, it just leads with his penis the whole time.
Yes.
Like, isn't every...
We saw his butt.
Porthos.
So much. Porthos butt. We saw it so much.
You know,
and
we wanted to show
it.
The front, but they were like, no.
Nah,
this is a...
Nah. This is a family film.
This is a family film.
Now move the whores over, please. Sorry.
And so many whores. Yes. So many,
I called them that first, so you... Yeah. Sex workers.
Sex workers.
But back then, they were genuinely
courtesans.
Called that. Yeah, courtesans. Yeah.
So that would be, and that's Porthos, right? So that
Porthos,
was the
yeah.
Oliver Platt character, which
hilarious.
He was kind of that way in the first one, right?
Yeah, he was definitely he was a womanizer, but we didn't see what we saw
like,
this time.
Yeah, right.
So that was definitely different.
That was fun. Okay, so then Charlie Sheen would grow up to be Jeremy Irons, apparently. So Scar, kind of fits, I suppose.
Sure.
Jeremy Irons is much more fits more, I feel.
Yeah,
the character of Aramis.
Yes,
this,
I agree.
This guilty, you know, guilt ridden. Holy man, go figure.
Yes.
And he did a pretty good job. I liked Jeremy Irons pretty well enough. Gabriel Byrne, I think, is killing it, though. So that's D'Artagnan. And
oh,
so
he's so good.
Yeah, and that's compared. So we're comparing that to Chris O'Donnell, which, no contest.
Yeah.
You know, Chris O'Donnell is fun and charming in his
totally,
own way, in
totally.
His, like, arrogant, like, stuck-up way. But Gabriel Byrne was... I'm not the... Like, I think he did really good in this part.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I was really impressed. And
yeah.
He, like, made his character... compelling,
mm-hmm.
which I think could have been tricky because you're like, why the fuck are you abandoning your friends?
Yeah, right.
You know?
He grew out of that arrogance. He became more of the Boy Scout in a
totes.
Way. Like, interesting
yeah.
development there where it's like, he was so arrogant when we... I mean, if we're treating it this way, I like to think of it as a sequel. Like, you know,
totally.
I think it kind of works.
I agree. I like that as well.
And then the fourth Musketeer, so that would be Athos.
Athos, yes.
Yeah, oh, go figure. How could I forget? Played by John Malkovich,
so this
who
is
was
the one...
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes.
Far cry from, no offense to John Malkovich, but he ain't no Kiefer Sutherland.
Right, Kiefer
you know.
Is great.
So this is kind of an example. I think Kiefer kind of killed this one.
Same.
Like, you know.
I agree. He was fine. Josh
was
like,
fine.
He was like, he's really just like an angry character.
he kind of has, yeah, one note going on,
it's
you know?
It's one note, yeah.
It's so unfortunate. Because John Malkovich actually is a decent actor, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I think I've seen him like pull off good performances. but this ain't not excelling here.
Weston is greatest.
The next time we see each other, one of us will die. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, no, interesting.
So that's our core. So great. Yeah, and then King. So was that the king? Is he supposed to be the same king that's from the first Three Musketeers?
No, this was his son.
It's a new king. Oh, that's right. That's right.
So
You're right.
This is his son.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's right. Interesting. It really works as a sequel, because even in style, like, it feels very similar. Like, even though Disney made that one, and Disney did very much not make this one. There's some weird, like, action sequence. Like, how many swords get thrown? Like... I didn't know
the
that was an option.
The sword throwing was really weird. Yeah, but I liked it. I liked it. I'm here for it.
So crazy. Like, oh, we're a swashbuckler.
Sequences were still really good.
Definitely. Do you have a favorite musketeer? Like, and this can be different from favorite performance or anything like that. Because the musketeers are different from the performance. So you got the holy man. You got the raunchy guy. You got the... kind of the asshole. Athos is kind of the
Athos is kind of the
supposed
asshole.
To be the leader, but he always like, even Kiefer was very like, he was very brooding,
I guess, other than D'Artagnan, who I feel like didn't,
I think he's the
he is the best, yeah. Let's say that now, like, he is, yeah, definitely the best, but he didn't get to do most of the musketeering. So I'll pick one of the other ones for this question. I would say, what was the name of the holy man?
Aramis. Yeah.
Aramis. Yeah, he was great. He's got some, I love, like, pathos. I mean, I didn't love the scene where the naked guy tried to hung himself, but, like, I loved that he was so like, I'm a genius, not an architect.
No, that was good. That was a good bit. Like, one of the actual, like, laugh out loud moments.
Yeah, totally. I was like, oh, and he was just so calm, and the other guy's like, you're not going to do anything. He's hanging himself. He's like, no, it's fine. Because
I knew this was coming, because he threatened it earlier.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, again, like, one of those things that probably wouldn't get done now.
Or, no, and it's, you know, not funny now, but, like, I did get a chuckle out of this one, and I liked his response, too. Well, now that you're done thinking about that, can you please focus on this other shit?
Exactly, because he was very much, Porthos was having a crisis.
He was.
Nothing was working. he so wasn't funny. Working. Like, that guy was so interesting. What a weird choice, though, because that's Jean Depardieu or something like that. He's a very French actor. So yeah, the one French guy fucking movie.
Yeah, the one French guy.
So interesting. Yeah,
really interesting.
So you liked Aramis. Yeah, he had a lot going on, and he, some serious conflict going on there. I mean, he put the mask on the guy. That's a lot. That's a lot, man.
You had a little.
I would
that.
Not. Have, Philippe was very understanding.
Too much, though.
Like, all
they
across
say
the
he
board.
Was raised by an old woman. Like, I'm thinking he was raised by a saint.
For sure. He's like, brother, please. And then pulls a Brer Rabbit, where it's just like, don't do it, man. Please don't put me back in the mask. Wear it until you love it. And then die in it.
Yeah,
anyway.
Fuck, man.
What did you think of the romance story?
Between the queen and...
Because there's only, like, there's the
D'Artagnan,
clear one. Like, that one. Yeah.
I thought that was really, really well done.
They did good. That was one of my favorite plot
and
lines.
And I was like, again, so that made him more sympathetic, because you're like, oh, the reason he's not going off to, like, betray the king is because he loves the queen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much more I did not see coming, which I appreciated.
Yeah, there was a lot of... Yeah, good shit.
A lot of layers, yeah.
In that regard, like, literary speaking. Like, yeah, that was a nice...
that was lovely.
That was a nice touch.
The only other love story I can think of would be not a good love story, and that was
poor
between...
Raoul.
Yeah, poor Raoul's dead. So Raoul's dead, and then his girlfriend is also dead.
Man, yeah. Wait, she does die? She does die.
One that was betting.
Yeah,
the
with
king.
The king.
Yes, after she has sex with him, she says, she says, we're both going to hell. And he says, no, my love, you're going to hell.
I'm a king.
I am not, for I am king, designated by God.
Designated by God.
And I was just like, yeah.
So fucked. Like, again, like, it very much is that. Yeah, that's right.
So fucked up, man.
So fucked up. It very much is that romance, that time period romance novel, like, type of shit going on here.
Yeah.
I loved it. Very, yeah, very crazy.
Yeah, very
I don't
crazy.
Know what else to say. Thoughts on the plot to pull a parent trap with the ruling monarch?
I just thought that there was other ways it could have been done.
Like, I was with Athos when he's like, that's your
that's
plan?
That's it?
That's your plan?
That's the plan. Okay.
Okay, like,
yeah.
Allow me to poke some holes in your plan. It's like, no, I've thought of everything. Have you?
Like, Josh made a good point because he watched this with me and he was just like, you know what they could have done is like had him go out when the lady, like, so the lady, she comes out and she's yelling at Philippe.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if he would not have gone out there and he would have let the king just be out there, and then she would have started screaming at him. And then if Philippe would have cut in and been like, I am the true king, this was taken from me. Like, it could have played out really differently.
Oh, they spin it that way as opposed to, I need to replace the true,
true
king. No, I'm
he
the
hid
one.
Me
right.
locked away
yeah,
because
right.
he didn't want me to take his throne. And he lets
That's
you,
the way
starve
you spin
in
it.
The streets. Josh had this whole speech that was so good. I was like, yeah, that is how it should have been done.
Right.
Because, yeah, then the people would have loved him.
Exactly.
We
right,
already
right.
know the mom
The Game
loved
of Thrones
him.
Story. Where
yes.
Like, you get the people to love you. And, like,
and yeah. so then we could have, like... Because, yeah, I don't, I mean,
that's better.
It seems like.
Because it's very, like,
it's pretty
not a good
dark
idea.
To, also to, like, I mean, I know that the king did it to him first,
oh,
but to,
oh,
like.
Oh, right, I know, yeah, I was kind of in the same boat, which is like, I don't know if this is the best solution.
I was like, I feel like poison
almost,
would
like,
be nicer.
Exactly,
like,
I feel like killing him might be, maybe kill him, like.
And also, like, the guards, like, they already burned that body, so. They're not going to be like, huh,
oh, right.
this is
Wait,
so weird that a new...
Like, wait, hold on.
I thought you died.
Yeah, no shit. So that really, yeah, they really, like, fucked it up there.
Yeah.
Because like, they could have, like, yeah, they could have shipped him off anywhere, really.
Yeah.
Like,
and
even...
I don't know if it is because I've, like, read so many books and watched uh-huh. things like Game of Thrones that we had that idea where we were like, no, this would be the better
this
way
be
to
better.
Do it. But
this was the 90s. We weren't thinking about that.
And the people were revolting, as they should. He was giving them rotten food when he fed them.
Yes.
So I loved that part, actually. Like,
good stuff, yeah.
That was cool.
Catching those apples with the sword. You're right. It is rotten. I'll speak to him immediately.
Yep. Yep.
So good. There's so many. Like, see, it's that kind of. Joy I get out of viewing
same.
It where it's just like this is kind of bad but I love it like
same
because everybody is taking it seriously like nobody's phoning it in even
nobody's
John Malkovich
phoning it in.
Like
no
yeah.
everybody is being serious
do you wait yes do you think that Leo did better in one role as opposed to the other Philippe versus like
so it's interesting to watch Leo be like any kind of
bad.
A bad person because
yes,
like
thank
I
you. Yeah.
I think he's like such a good person in real life. He's like such
an
environmentalist. An
ambassador.
Yes.
Yep.
And just, you know, vegetarian, like
not to say he's played some pretty dark characters.
Sure.
Sure. But
sure,
he's
a multifaceted person. But right. CMB like purely a jackass.
Louis was, yeah.
Total jackass.
Total jackass.
Total
yeah.
jackass.
Yeah.
So that I feel like he does Philippe better because I'm
right.
like,
you're right.
I also like Philippe more, you know.
Yes.
So it's sort of like one of those situations.
It feels a little more forced in some ways when he does do. It's fun to see, but it
totally.
it just feels unnatural for him.
I
to
did
be
like the couple
bad.
Of parts, like when he like after him and the first girl had sex, and then he's just like,
oh,
I
man.
Prefer to eat breakfast by
yeah.
myself.
Oh my god!
I was and you'll be moving out
oh my
tomorrow.
God. Worse, yeah. I was
the
like,
worst,
oh,
but also
damn.
Like that was his most convincing.
Yeah, exactly. True, true. Cause I bet, like, at that point, he was like, oh, this is just another day on the set of Growing Pains for me.
Right?
This is how it happened. Okay, yeah, I agree. Okay, and now we come to our favorite questions.
Yeah.
So let's start off, let's just get this out of the way. Favorite performance? There are plenty to choose from.
Yep, I have to choose Leo as Philippe,
Leo,
though.
Yeah, as Philippe, specifically.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the guy that plays D'Artagnan.
And then probably Gabriel
Byrne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, nice, nice. Because, and this is it's even enough that I feel like, yeah, you're not just giving it to, yeah, Leo
I'm
at
not,
that point.
No.
Like, yeah.
No, I think that he did such a good job of pretending to be shell-shocked. And then, like, you know,
when
how
he touches
I have...
his face and, like, his body, like, you know, if, like, he's touching his face for the first
time
and you can
time,
see
yeah.
it, like, you know.
And then, yeah. like, also, I'm a sucker for people, like, pretending to act while they're in character of another character, because I always think that must be really hard. Mm. I know I couldn't do it.
Right.
So, like,
right.
watching him try to pretend to be his brother.
Yes,
and
right.
knowing in real life that he's just pretending, you know, like, it's...
Not just
it's
being
a lot
Louis.
Of layers, yeah. yeah. So I love that.
Favorite line of dialogue?
That would be by Porthos.
Okay.
I'd rather die covered in blood. Oh, I'd rather die covered in blood than an old man lying in my own piss. Love that.
And says it with a French accent. Too,
yes, so I can't
really,
do that. Sorry.
It's really cool.
I'm like Leo. I can't
kinda,
do accents.
Kind of sexy when he says it.
Totally.
Peace.
My peace.
And one of my favorite, yeah, there is something about the way the French, because he even, the way he describes it, what could be better than a perfectly pink nipple between my lips? It's like,
yeah.
that's a very, like, that's
that would be
awful,
vulgar,
but like, yeah, vulgar,
hearing
right.
it from an American yeah. person.
Hey man, what do I got to do to get a nice plump pink?
Nope.
Totally. Nice. Favorite scene?
My favorite scene was in the last big fight. When the new musketeers were defying the king, and they didn't want to fight their heroes, like when they like shot,
nice. That's
they like
right.
unwillingly
they, like,
shot,
close their eyes and
yeah,
irresponsibly
and then,
shooting.
And then the three musketeers all come out, and they're all alive. And then they just slowly just are like setting their guns
yeah.
down. They're like, we don't want to fight them
yep.
anyways.
That's
like,
awesome. Yeah,
it's so good.
Good choice.
I love that.
A very Pulp Fiction moment where it's like, wait, are we? Oh, we're good. Oh, okay,
yeah,
we're
fine.
Good. Nice.
It's a good one.
And then would you rewatch, recommend, and then what do you rate it? And take your time.
Yeah. I would definitely rewatch. I would definitely
nice.
Recommend. It's
this
so fun.
Up your alley.
It's so 90s.
Knew it.
Yeah. And I rate it 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. Oh,
three
lower than I thought. Because it
lower.
Is pretty cringy.
It's just, yeah. The, like, there's a couple things that could bump it up just a little
yeah.
bit. But
good.
Yeah. 3 out of 5. Love it.
3 out of 5.
Oh, and in this movie, like, the only connections that I really made were the Three Musketeers, obviously.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yep.
And then, like, if you like things like A Knight's Tale, you'll like this.
Yep. Count of Monte Cristo came
yes,
out around the
totes.
Same time. Yeah, yeah, definite connections there. And this is, yeah, it's based on the Alexandre Dumas book, which it isn't even called The Man in the Iron Mask, which seems like an awesome title.
It is such a good title. And...
the
I
true
did a,
story, yeah.
Yeah, I did a
this
little research.
This is based on truth.
Yeah, there's... all. Most of this was made up, but the one true
most
thing
of it, yeah.
was that they found records of a prisoner, mm-hmm. and, you know, they put the number there.
The number, yeah.
And he was the man in an iron mask.
Now,
however, yeah. since then, like, historians have been doing a lot of research mm-hmm. trying to figure out who this person was and what was going on. And
whether the mask was even a mask. Because
yeah.
some even think that it could have been a hood or something
so
like that. Yep.
The historians, it sounds like they've mostly decided that they think it was a mask, but it was made of velvet.
Uh-huh.
Because
right.
that was a material that was in excess back then as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so that, and they don't really know, like, so one of the rumor mills going was that it was the twin brother of King Louis.
Sure, which is great. Like it,
I love
it feels
that.
Like a, and it, but it does feel like
a fairy tale.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And something that would be started amongst the public or
it
something
was definitely
like that.
Amongst the people.
Like, yeah.
I read that it was like someone's valet.
See, right.
But,
see, it had
know.
To be somebody that knew something or something like that. And it, and obviously like the key is that, I mean, you don't do this to prisoners, like put masks on them and stuff. So, something about this person's identity was really important.
Yeah, the historians say that, like, whoever it was, like, if they would have taken their mask off, they would have been murdered or killed.
Right.
So, like, yeah, they
like, yeah,
either
had
to
be.
Know something
yep.
or someone or be, like, high up in a crime that affected a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So
that kind of, again, that kind
of
narrows it, but
sort
not
of a
much.
Mystery.
Like,
I
it,
still like
it's fun.
It.
Like,
because,
yeah. yeah, there's a lot of different ideas, and it's fun to think about.
Totally.
Yeah. That was fun.
Very fun.
Perfect. So now I think it is time for arrival. We have arrived at my turn.
Nice. Love it.
So, all right. In my own words here, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a movie called Arrival.
Tell me about it.
Ever since man discovered the vastness of the universe that surrounds them, there has been that nagging question. Are we alone? And then filmmaker Dennis Oh, sorry. I got to get this right. Denis Villeneuve. And I'm going to actually have my computer pronounce it better than I ever could. Here we go. Wait for it. Right about there.
Also is the typical French-Canadian French pronunciation, Denis Villeneuve.
Denis Villeneuve. There we go. Cool.
Cool.
Denis Villeneuve.
Love that.
And it's spelled like Denis Villeneuve or something like that. Anyway, but that's how you say it. Came along and made a movie that offers a resounding no to be the answer. In this modern sci-fi drama starring Amy Adams as a linguist, Louise?
I think it's Louise.
Louise Banks, who finds herself recruited. I don't want to have a repeat of eighth grade, okay? And none of you said anything. No, drama starring Amy Adams as Louise Banks, who finds herself recruited into a mission of utmost secrecy. The mission puts Louise at the forefront of history and partners her up with a scientist, Ian Donnelly, played by Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
It turns out that there are 12 extraterrestrial spacecrafts that hover across the world, and within them are visitors from another world. The common designation for these aliens is octopod. And they kind of look like hands.
Yeah.
And Louise goes to work trying to translate their alien language and writing in order to communicate the new big question posed by people, posed by the people in power. Why are you here?
Yeah.
The mission proves difficult at first, but Louise finds as her understanding of the octopod language deepens, so too does her understanding of time itself.
Mm-hmm.
Though breathtaking, through breathtaking imagery and compelling emotion, the arrival of intelligent life beyond our own offers a realistic glimpse into who we are even more than who our visitors are.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Arrival. Which is basically, the way I look at it is there are these sci-fi movies that are very much influenced by the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey,
mm-hmm.
Which was a Stanley Kubrick movie that came out in the 60s. All film geeks are supposed to love this movie. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to fucking... You can love movies and not fucking love that movie, okay? It's all right.
Yeah.
Because it is boring as hell.
Yeah.
And it can be both things. It is visually very... I acknowledge that visually it's very ahead of its time and like definitely set some cool standards and obviously influenced some filmmakers to make some cool stuff, so it's deserves some credit in that regard. But you know, it's similar to like Citizen Kane, where it's just like, cool, they set the trend, but now we got it, so
yeah.
You don't have to hold them, you don't have to put them up on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this kind of feels like it's trying to do 2001 Space Odyssey, but it does it better because it's still kind of cerebral, but it was more understandable to me than 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
It's like the same with Interstellar. Like, this makes more sense to me than Interstellar, too.
Same. That's
and
the
is
one
way
with
less
McConaughey.
Fucking boring. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is
I
way
think
less
this is so much better.
Excruciating and everything like
that.
Poor
movie.
Anne Hathaway. She's great in that. But,
she is.
You know, it's just
I
a boring
think everyone
movie.
Was trying.
Yeah.
But it was not good.
Not good.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So
I don't like a lot of sci-fi,
right.
If I'm being honest.
Not your go-to genre.
It's not my go-to genre.
Even though you love Star Wars.
I love Star Wars, but it's so much more, okay?
It's not.
It's not
sci-fi.
No, it's like imagination play plus rebellion.
Myth.
Plus
mythology.
Princesses that fight and cool shit.
Fascism. Anti-fascism.
Fuck yeah. But I really, really liked this movie when I saw it. I actually saw it in the theaters.
Oh, wow.
I went in with, like, zero expectation.
Mm-hmm. Right. I didn't know nothing about, like, I guess I knew it was, like, an alien movie of some sort, but I didn't know the full, like, yeah.
Yeah. I saw it in the theater, and I, like, left really, like, whoa, and, like, had a lot of thoughts afterwards, because I think it's a really thought-provoking film.
Yeah, no shit.
I've only watched it two times, and forgive me, I did not rewatch it for this.
Uh-huh. But left an impact.
It did. It left a big impact. Yeah. I just got back from Alaska.
Alaska. Yeah.
It was
good
really
place.
Cool.
A lot of UFOs.
So many, you guys. Aliens.
Northern Lights. There was only Northern Lights.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Anyways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it left an impact on me. And
yeah.
I once read, like, on a Reddit forum that you really take from this movie what you give. And I feel like that's really true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go into it expecting something, or if you go into it, like, with a closed mind, then you're not going to pull as much from it. Like, I remember it being a very emotional experience for me.
Yeah, no, it, yeah, that was what was surprising. It's like, yeah, it's mostly an emotional story, mostly a drama.
Totally, totally.
And romance in its own way. See, yeah.
In its own way. Yeah. Let's get to it. Are you ready for some questions?
Q&A.
Q&A.
Q&A me. Oh, yeah, and Forrest Whitaker. I failed to mention, yeah, Forrest Whitaker is in this. He's a great actor.
Oh, yeah, he's a great actor. So I guess I'll just start with a big, broad one. What was the message that you took away from this movie, from Arrival?
Yeah.
Which, like, so, you can pull a lot of different things
from it.
I know,
right? Like, we have this fascination with... Apparently, we've got this fascination with wanting to contact alien life, I guess, which... Yeah. Knowing us, I don't know how well that would go. Like, and especially, like, you know, given the last couple of years, I think most of us have, even the most optimistic of us, have grown a little more cynical or pessimistic in some ways. And this movie kind of addresses that. I feel like it was a really realistic depiction of what would happen if we made contact with. Because we dealt with all the people here on Earth, I guess. We've got all the racism going on. So then, what would be the logical next step? Is like, it's just like, oh, cool, visitors from another world. Okay, how can we kill them?
Yeah.
Or conquer them?
How can we start war?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, but yeah, so big overarching question. We have this fascination with time also.
Yes.
And it's hard for me to wrap my mind around, because this is a typical go-to in sci-fi, is this idea of like, so we experience time linearly.
Yes.
So it's from beginning to end. We're experiencing it now in the moment and stuff like that. I don't know what's coming up next until it happens and so on and so forth. So I guess there's another way of looking at time, to where it's like you see everything, including your entire lifespan and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that is hard for me to wrap my mind around, because it's like, because how could you? And we aren't wired to.
Right, because we see time the one way.
This way. And it's like, so I feel like the lesson was more to do with, I feel like it is more about us than it is about these aliens and what they have to offer. It's what they have to offer is like, hey, basically enjoy life. Like it does make you, it's like, treasure the now and stuff like that. I took that away. It was surprisingly connected to the inner child work I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we can't do anything about the past. Like, we've got our wounds and everything like that, but that doesn't mean you're damaged.
No.
Like, you can still
learn and grow
live
from them.
Like, life doesn't have to be just great. So I just feel like this had to, this said to, because it poses that question. It's like, if you could see your entire life before your eyes, would you change anything?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know, maybe I'd say I love you more and stuff like that. So I feel like that was the takeaway. It's just like, you know what? No, I'm good. Movies come along to remind you, it's like, enjoy life a little more. Like,
yeah,
and that was good to experience now too, because I feel like we've all settled into the new routine.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of connection going on because we got to stay away.
We've got to fucking
socially distance.
Totally.
Something like that.
I like that. If you were in Luis's shoes and you knew that your eventual child would die, would you still have your child? Would you try to change the future? Can you change the future? Those are some heavy questions that you don't need to answer all of them, but that's just kind of...
Is the future set?
Right.
Apparently if you address things from a fourth dimensional, fifth dimensional viewpoint, I guess so, but who knows if that even exists?
Right. Right.
Like, unfortunately, like, that, and hate to, like, pull the rug out from under, but who knows if that even exists? We're all speculating here.
Right. Right. I'm, like, very much in the frame of brain where I'm just, like, I think things can change.
Right.
Like,
I think I'd still have it.
Yeah, because I believe in, like, free will, and because, because I believe that someone makes a choice and that can change a bunch of things for them down the road. I like to think of, you know, time not being set in stone. I know a lot of people believe like this is going to happen and it's what's happening, but like, I just can't wrap my brain that way.
Right.
I think I would still have the child most likely because like I would try to change it.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it couldn't be changed, then, you know, it's just you one of those things where you got the time, you got the joy and love.
Right.
Interesting, though. Like,
looking at you, Texas.
Yeah, we sort of see, like, Jeremy Renner, that's his name, right? His
character. He doesn't take it so well.
Yeah, not taking it well. Mm-mm.
She made the wrong choice, he said.
To have the child or to not tell him?
I think so.
Right? Like, that's sort of open for us to interpret. Like, you made the wrong choice. Does that mean to, like, get married and have the child? Or does that mean, like, to fill him in?
To tell you. Yeah, right.
But, like, I sort of would have done the same thing as her and would not have said anything, I don't think.
Yeah, right. No,
but that's, like, a pretty heavy thing to carry yourself.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, it just came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deep.
Heavy shit, man.
Heavy movie.
So.
Heavy shit.
What do you think about aliens? Real?
I like these. I like these. Oh, what do I think? Oh, in that regard?
Just in general. I know we've talked about aliens on the show.
Oh, okay. So I like this idea where it's just like, yeah, they're probably out there, but they ain't going to want to fuck with us because the second they see how many weapons that we have, like, who's going to...
Right.
Intelligent life would be like, oh, maybe we don't go to that planet. Right. Where there's, they still can't figure their shit out. Like, they're dealing...
They kill each other.
Like, like, we like to think of, again, so arrogant, where it's just like, oh, if visitors saw our planet, oh, they'd want to stick around, they'd want to know about us. I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think they'd stay the fuck away.
I like these aliens, too, and I like their reasoning. Like, no, we're coming here because we'll need your help later
on. I love that they didn't even, like, elaborate on what it is that's going to happen. It's just like, hey, yo, we're just going to need your help in, like, 3,000 years.
Right. So you need to know this language. Teach this language.
Get going on that.
Yeah, fascinating.
And again, like, who knows what it is. Like, yeah. Just need your help too. Is it a threat? Who knows? Like, it doesn't even have to be that way. Because, yeah.
Josh, my husband, loves aliens and loves to talk about aliens and theorize about aliens. And, like, you know, he could go on and on. And when we were in Alaska, we were talking to our friends and we were talking about, you know, our favorite conspiracy theories. Which is a fun conversation to have, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
You learn some new ones, and it's super fun.
Illuminati and so forth.
Oh, yeah, so many good ones. And Josh was like, well, let me just tell you, it's either aliens or time travel.
Yeah, yeah, great. Ooh, yeah.
Time and travel would be fucking awesome. So he loves to talk about that, like, oh, yeah, well, there's a particle accelerator in Switzerland, and so time travel could just be a thing that's existing right now.
That'd be cool.
So he loves like to, that. And he likes to talk about aliens too, in the way that, you know, people who have no idea what exists out there do, but.
Well, what's interesting is that we're kind of like, even government is like kind of loosening up on it, where it's just like, you know, maybe we might know something.
There's
like,
some stuff happening. You should.
I love how even the government is like loosening its belt on it.
Totally. Like, totally.
So, which does make me feel even more. It's like, no, this probably is something out there worth talking about,
for
apparently.
Sure.
Okay.
I can't, like...
I bet we don't know how to communicate with them still, though. And that's, again, like, why would they share? Which is, like, we don't know what we're saying. We don't know what they're saying. We know that there's something, though.
And they might not live in our galaxy. There's so many galaxies that border each other.
And so far away. So even the prospect of, it's like, meeting them, like, yeah, good luck. Because it's,
yeah, probably not going to happen. But, fun nonetheless. Like,
fun to, consider. And, like, I'm sure, I mean, it would be arrogant to think... Yeah, so there is alien life out there. Like, I don't just say that. Like, for sure. Like, way too many planets, too many galaxies, and so forth. Like,
yeah,
they gotta be something.
Yeah, totally.
And who knows what it looks like, though? See, again, like, who knows if we could even fathom it.
Right.
Like, you know. Like,
yeah, we have no idea.
Like, whole other world. And that's why it's fun to think about.
Absolutely. Time for our favorites.
Oh, goody. Favorite questions. So, and a nice little siren for you.
Yeah. I hope everyone's okay. What was your favorite scene? Perfect.
Ah, favorite scene. Let me bring up my shit. favorite scene was when Amy Adams boards the craft and discovers the link to the language and time itself.
Oh, yeah.
Like where she like first gets in there and the environment gets all crazy and her hair stands up on end. And, you wonder if she's going to die and she's talking to Costello, I think. It's like, where's Abbott? It's gone. It's like the weapon opens time and stuff. Like, all of that stuff was really
so much cool shit, man.
And she finally, makes the connection. It's like, who's this daughter? And, like, where it finally all comes together. She's like, oh, you thought this whole time... I thought we opened up on the ending of, like, that child's life, and, like, that's what motivated her to do this, and that's not the case.
No, I liked how they put it all together, actually, and I don't always like storytelling.
And they really didn't,
way.
Like, beat you over the head with it. They really guided you, and, like, again, like, purely through the director, it's, like, visually they conveyed everything.
Yeah, because I thought the same exact thing as you going into it. I was like, oh, she's doing this for her kid, but no.
And then, she says, like, who is this child? It's like, wait, what?
So good. Favorite quote. Well done.
Favorite quote is really simple. There aren't a whole lot of, like, good ones. There's a lot of science jargon in here and stuff like that. But mine was really simple. I just liked the ominous but kind of hopeful, like, the weapon opens time.
Yeah.
Like, like that. And especially seeing it in a subtitle and coming from an alien, it's like, it opens time. It's like, hold up, what?
What?
Like, time travel is a, cool idea.
Cool
Who
concepts.
Wouldn't
want to
do that? Only want to tour. I wouldn't want to fuck with things, like, you know. Same. And I think that's the only way you could do it. I think we've debunked that whole idea. I don't think you could affect anything.
But going and visiting places.
But going and visiting, like,
Favorite performance?
Favorite performance. So I wanted to try to break free of the core because Amy Adams clearly killed
so
it. Like
good.
She's clearly
Holy
the lead.
Moly.
But I will give a shout out to Michael Stuhlbarg, who plays Agent Halpern, or whatever. So he's the more CIA guy that he also played. It's interesting. He has a connection to Men in Black 3. He plays that alien that can see all of time and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so he's kind of got a connection here. I like that actor a lot, so I wanted to give him a shout out. Even though he didn't do a whole lot, I still felt like
he's
he
still
was
good.
Compelling.
Yeah, totally.
Because even Forrest Whitaker, I would have loved to have given it to him, but Forrest Whitaker, he's done better. Like, you know,
Agree.
You know.
But I like that he was there.
Yeah.
Definitely. Would you rewatch and recommend?
I would. Yeah, I think so. I think it requires a rewatch for sure.
It does. I saw stuff in my second viewing that I didn't see in my first.
Yep.
And it's interesting going into it knowing how it's going to end,
exactly,
too.
Exactly, yeah. I would rewatch it for that reason. Not for a while, though. Most people are like, oh, you got it. Made me want to watch it immediately after. It's like, not with stuff like that. I actually like to digest it and, like, you develop your own kind of thought and. Sometimes I do read other points of view, and that's fun to think
about.
There's,
like, if you go on Reddit, there is, like, one page that has millions of posts about this movie.
Yeah, I bet.
And reading through some of those is so fascinating.
I loved the depiction of alien. Like, again, like, we don't need the gray. We don't need to be, like, I liked how they were, we didn't really know what they were. They could have been, like, made of the smoke, and then they could solidify, like, you know.
Yeah.
They really did well with it, and they didn't go too crazy with it either, where it's just like, wait, what am I looking at?
Right.
You know.
No, I like that, too. I actually really like that. It made it more timeless, too. Like, it's one you can visit in 20 years, and you probably
There was something about them looking like hands, too. It's like, you felt like you're communicating with God. You could go there.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
You know, like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good thought there. I like that. That's interesting.
Hey. I would have loved it if you would have flipped them off at some point.
Bye.
And would I recommend? Of course. Yeah, for sure. Especially if it's like, if you're like me and you hate 2001, but love to read about 2001. I do love, like, once I found out, it's like, oh, that's what that fucking movie was about. That's pretty cool. Did not fucking pick up any of that. Like,
it is just really boring. I agree with
really,
you.
Really, really boring.
And I struggle with sci-fi movies, so ones that have more to them, like this one, where it's like got the whole drama backstory.
Yeah, right. True, true.
Like, it's really nice to be able to, like, sort of zone out on some of the sci-fi stuff, you know?
See, and yeah, I like sci-fis with the adventure aspect, like Firefly, Star Wars.
Oh, totally,
like those are always fun.
Yeah. And I read sci-fi sometimes, but it's like dystopian sci-fi. So
oh, yeah.
End
oh,
of
good
the world
old, you mean,
shit. Yeah.
You mean today? Like, just
right. Right.
Fact.
Right. Sad.
And then, yeah, in terms of out of 5 stars, I also give this a 3.
Solid
3. I kind of lean towards 3.5. I don't know. It's like right on the line there.
See,
but three,
me too. I was like 3, 3.5.
Yeah. 3. But 3 just because it is still, it's one of the heavier materials. So
it's
always
heavy.
It's harder to get in there and stuff like that. But for what it was very enjoyable. This is the director of the new movie Dune that's coming out soon. So I'm really looking forward to that now. I'm glad that I finally got that under my belt, because I like how he, and I already love the trailer for Dune. Like, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, it's so cool.
I saw one review so far where it's just like, whatever, disappoint. I'm not listening to any of that shit. Mm-mm. It's like, I know that we're going to get a lot of that because it's based on a book series. So there's going to be haters.
There will be always. I'm a book person. I get it.
Yeah. But looks really good, and I just love he does these, he makes things look very real, but also it's like otherworldly, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He also did that new Blade Runner movie, which I never saw, but everybody really raved about it. So Ryan Gosling, so
love him,
he's great. He's fabulous. 3 out of 5 stars, so love pretty it. Still pretty solid.
Time to make our connection.
I think it is time to make some connections. Oh, and so for me, for Arrival, just some connections. They used a location from Contact, which is very similar to this, which was a movie written by Carl Sagan, who is the guy behind Cosmos, one of the coolest like series of all time.
Love that.
The preparation sound is the same as in The Purge.
Oh.
That.
Yes.
And I do remember that from Purge trailers.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of weird. Jeremy Renner and Amy Adams were in American Hustle. Pretty good movie.
Yeah, pretty good movie.
Cosmos is connected to this for multiple reasons. V for Vendetta, actually, because there's a Guy Fawkes mask and with graffiti, which is straight up taken out of that movie. It's interesting that he used that. Because there's that whole other like B plot line of what's going on with the public in this time.
Right.
Which is very accurate to, like, look at how we reacted to a pandemic. So I feel like it's legit. This is pretty accurate. Mm-hmm.
That's why aren't they showing us? What don't they want us to say?
It's like, oh boy.
Good God.
And then The Visit, which was made in 2015, which has a similar orange jumpsuit costume scenario. Awesome. Okay, and now, yes, finally, time to make the movie connection between these two vastly different movies.
Vastly different.
Casey, what do you got, first of all?
So mine is just a very broad connection.
Great.
Both of these movies have, like, to do with communication and miscommunication.
Ah.
So, D'Artagnan not telling his friends purposely about his children.
Okay, uh-huh.
So that's, like, you know, if they would have gone in knowing that, like, they could have worked around it and done it differently. They also didn't communicate him about knowing who the kid in the mask was, right?
Yes, right.
So that was, like, a big breakdown of communication.
I gotcha.
And... you know, Louise, mm-hmm. with her husband, or her before husband, like knowing their whole future and not sharing it with him.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a big breakdown in the communication as well. And again, their story would have probably turned out differently had she shared that information.
Interesting.
So a couple big breakdowns of communication.
Hmm.
We also have the king with his people. And then the aliens with the human. So, like, the king is not communicating properly with his people. He's telling people to tell people to tell his people.
Yeah, right.
And then we've got, you know, the aliens and the humans are trying to, bridge their connection as well. So that was my main connection there.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, so what I came up with is... both are based on literary materials.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The Man in the Iron Mask is based on the Vicomte de Bragelon or whatever the fuck, also known as 10 Years Later by Alexandre Dumas. And then you have Arrival, which is based more on a novella, but it's based on The Story of Your Life by Ted Chiang. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So they both have that going for them. Both do feature government officials keeping secrets from the public, so kind of similar to what you're saying. Both of these could be considered espionage.
Oh yeah, that's
thrillers
true.
In their own way, because it's about intelligence gathering and what you share and what you don't. And the people are very similar. The public is in chaos in both instances.
Yes, that's true.
In both movies. And then both feature tyrannical leaders who have a change of heart, whether it's through a parent trap scenario or through a crazy time travel language that forces a Chinese general to stand down. So there's that. And I think that is... yeah, those are the connections I found. So we got some pretty good ones and some looser ones, but definitely, I mean, that literary thing, that connects them for sure.
That's a super cemented, yeah, absolutely.
So back off. We still got it.
We got it, guys. It's time for my favorite part.
Yeah. Which is recommendations.
Oh, not my favorite part. Not your favorite guys. Part. My recommendation this week is one that has nothing to do with my usual stuff, and that is go outside and take a hike.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, great, because you're coming off
all
of
I did this whole entire
Alaska.
Week was read and hike.
Fuck yeah.
And let me tell you guys, I feel recharged mm-hmm. and amazing. Hell yeah. Like, I didn't watch any TV while I was gone.
Oh, my God.
I, like, didn't read any news while I was gone.
Yeah, good.
It was excellent. Like, I feel like my soul is happy. Hmm. And, like, I think hiking was a big part of that and, like, seeing, you know, a lot of beautiful shit.
Fun.
Very cool.
So get out there and hike, you lazy bones.
Before it's too late.
It's too late to apologize. And my recommendation will be, I'm sorry, like, you know, like, I know it's not getting the best of reviews, but check out the new Cinderella on Amazon if you got
good.
It.
I haven't checked it out yet.
I think it's pretty fun. Camila Cabello is so charming. Like, she really
She's
knocks
so
it out
awesome.
Of the park. Like, I was pleasantly surprised because you never know with these pop artists, you know? Mm-hmm. You never know with these singers. And she was great. I forgot that Idina Menzel was in it, and so that's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
It's one of those that could be enjoyable for you to hate watch, you know?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, yeah, because it's different. I'll burst this bubble that I didn't realize. It's mostly jukebox musical.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still, you've seen the trailer, like,
it's still got Cinderella.
Old school dresses
yeah.
and all that stuff going on, and then you got Somebody to Love coming out of
mouths.
It's a great song. Maybe that was a bad example. You got Material Girl, damn it.
Yeah,
so
no,
I can't really.
Song as well.
But no, you know what I mean? It was jarring for me, though, where it's just like, wait, it's this kind of movie? Because
yeah.
I saw the trailer with the original song, so I thought
me
we were
too.
Just getting original music.
And I only watched the one trailer, yeah. so.
So there you go. So it might help you actually going in, because that kind of threw
me
for
I'll
a little bit.
Yeah, maybe I'll enjoy it a little more, because
yeah.
I know.
So that, and that's fun to see what, you know, what songs come up and all
yeah.
that stuff. Some very modern stuff shows up. So yeah, that's my recommendation. You know, if you have a recommendation or you want to just say, hey, or what have you, you can always send us an email.
Yes, that is at movieconnectionpodcast@gmail.com.
We got an Instagram for you to follow us and kind of keep up to date. And, you know, you can message us through that and stuff. You can follow us there. It's at The Movie Connection.
Yeah.
All one word. Mm-hmm. Or you can follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
We also have got a Facebook that we post yeah. pretty often on. Mostly it's just when new episodes come up.
Yes.
Do give us a 5-star review or what have you. Subscribe
yes,
on
please.
Anywhere Apple Podcasts is
Spotify.
Recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of those good guys.
All the good ones.
And is that everything? So
share
that's
us,
all the
like
plugs.
Us.
Us. Share us, like us, love us. Thank you again for all of our new listeners. Please share with your friends. We want to build this community as much as we can.
Totally.
So yeah, welcome.
Yeah, welcome, guys.
And thanks for listening. Okay. Okay, wait.
Now
is it time
for
all right.
my favorite part?
I think it's Casey's favorite part.
So,
all right, here we go. It's time for our assignments for next week. This is what we're going to watch over
I'm
the course of this
week. I'm curious what you're going to assign me. This is my birthday week, you guys, so
oh.
it better be good.
Uh-oh.
I am assigning you, in honor of my birthday week, you are going to watch 13 Going on 30.
13 Going on 30. Oh, shit. It's happening.
It is. I would have waited another year till I was actually going to be 30 to assign this, but I couldn't handle it, so you're watching it now. I'm excited. It's very much like a birthday movie, though, so.
Perfect. All right, I am going to have you watch the movie Freaky.
Freaky.
And this is, I believe, and for you listeners, I believe it's on HBO Max still. This
cool.
is a movie starring Vince Vaughn.
Oh, love it.
And
love
then
him.
The actress is actually played... Hold on. She played one of the... Damn it. She played one of the sisters in the miniseries version of Little Women.
Oh!
She played Florence Pugh's character. So that's Anne?
Yeah,
No.
No, it's Amy.
Amy.
Sorry.
Amy.
I'm so sorry.
Damn it. Yeah. Amy. So yeah, Amy is in there, and she does a really good job.
Awesome.
Yep. I think you will dig it. It's a fun movie for sure.
Hell yeah.
And okay, so good. I was like, it's kind of a little bit more comedy, but yours is too. So that's
yeah,
good.
Mine is too. We'll have that to.
13 going on 30.
I just hope you don't hate this movie.
Yeah, me too.
It's in my top favorites for sure.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's a movie. I hear good things, and this is Jennifer Garner, right?
It is Jennifer Garner and Mark
Ruffalo.
Ruffalo. Thank you. I didn't want to say it wrong. love him too. So, no, it's super fun.
Perfect.
Very
so we got
2000s.
Nice. Oh,
so
okay.
Early
fun.
2000s. So it's really fun.
Ooh, all right. I think we're gonna find some connections actually.
Good.
So we got Freaky and 13 going on 30.
Yeah.
Very fun. I love it. Okay, so let's
and flirty and fun. You'll get that. After you watch it.
After I watch it, which is coming up next week. All right. Thank you so much, everybody. Anything else to say about these two movies? I think not.
I think we're ready.
Enjoy yourselves, everybody. And hey, let's to our Texas listeners.
Yeah.
There's no words.
Right.
I mean, but just know that our hearts go out to you guys and like all your women, like, because those are the only ones being penalized, apparently.
Right.
I hope that you have safe haven. Oregon's got plenty of space, even though we're telling people don't come here.
We welcome you with open arms
because
if you need
it. Texas isn't very welcoming to
Oregon. Washington and California are all pretty like liberal minded places and will welcome you
don't have pesky, you know, abortion bans.
Right.
We
have our own problems, but that's not one of them.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, sorry to get heavy there for a second, but it's a pretty big,
news. Yeah.
It's pretty big news stuff. But anyway, I look forward to you guys tuning in next week. This is the highlight of my week every
Mine
time.
Mine too. I love it.
I feel like it's been ages since we did this because of your little vacation. So,
I know.
Don't do that.
No. Sorry.
Awesome. Well, take care, everybody. Be safe, and see you then.
Bye.